Penn State protesting the decision. The university president also was forced out. Sports Illustrated college football writer Andy Staples thinks the trustees made the right call.
Joe Paterno, the most powerful man on campus or a powerful man in town, didn't follow up on it, didn't do anything about it. Neither did the athletic director, neither did the vice president of the school, neither did the president of the school. And they're all without jobs now, and that's the way it should be.
At last night's Republican presidential candidates debate, Herman Cain again faced down questions about his sexual harassment scandal. He says voters are still enthusiastic about it.
They'll say they don't care about the character assassination. They care about leadership and getting this economy growing and all of the other problems we face.
Candidate Rick Perry admits he stepped in it during the debate when he forgot the name of the third federal agency he would eliminate if elected president.
The third agency of government, yeah. I would do away with. The education, commerce, and let's see, the third one, sorry, oops.
Investors ran for the hills yesterday. Fears over Italy's financial crisis caused stocks to tank. The Dow lost 389 points. The day's losses pushed the S&P and NASDAQ into the red for 2011, and the Dow is barely hanging on to a slight gain for the year. Alabama's Jefferson County commissioners have voted to file for the largest municipal bankruptcy in U.S. history. They failed to approve a settlement on the county's multi-billion-dollar debt. This is the county where the state's largest city, Birmingham, is located. It's more than $4 billion in debt. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell batteries. Oh, no. We install them fast and free with purchase on most vehicles. And we mean fast. If strapping on an experimental jetpack would help us install your battery any faster, we'd do it. Unfortunately, jetpacks can be squirrely. Too bad, because we really wanted those things. Fast, free battery installation at Advance. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
Banks are working through their massive foreclosure paperwork backlogs with some efficiency now, and that means foreclosures are back on the rise. This morning, housing researcher Realty Track reports a 10% increase in October from September in the number of bank default notices, the first step in foreclosure. The number of scheduled property auctions by banks increased 8%. Because of a change in Nevada foreclosure law, Las Vegas is no longer the city with the most foreclosures per capita. That's now Stockton, California. We've been telling you about retail chains, including Macy's, Target, and Kohl's, which plan to open midnight, the first moments of Black Friday. Gap has said it will be open all day Thanksgiving Day itself. And now Walmart says it will open the final 2 hours of Thanksgiving Day, 10 p.m. European stock markets have turned mixed following earlier deep losses, worries about the worsening debt picture in Italy giving away to some bargain hunting. S&P futures right now gaining 8 points. NASDAQ futures up 16. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
There it is! Let's follow it and see where it goes.
A new kind of broadband company is here. We're CenturyLink, linking Americans coast to coast to what matters. Our consistently fast speeds save you from interruptions and slowdowns, and since we're locally operated, you'll be met by honest personal service. We're committed to providing a better experience with 5-year price guarantees and more ways to customize your technology.
I think it's headed across the country.
CenturyLink, your link to what's next. Find out more at CenturyLink.com.
Oh, give me freedom.
You hear that? That's the sound of 68 million shopping carts being filled. 275,000 homes being built. Yep, that's the sound of a CSX train doing its part to move the economy forward. Sounds pretty good. CSX trains are the most efficient way to bring goods to market. See how at CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Right now at Lowe's, get savings you won't believe on our top Whirlpool appliances. Save $1,200 on Whirlpool Gold Stainless Steel 4-Door Refrigerators, now only $1,299. Or clean up with savings of $600 on Whirlpool Cabrio High Efficiency Top Load Washers and Dryers. Get the pair for $998. Plus, get an additional 5% off every day when you use your Lowe's consumer credit card or any Lowe's business credit account. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offers valid through 11/14. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell batteries, we'll test them fast and free on most vehicles. If the best way to test your battery was to place our tongues directly on your old battery, we'd do it. But we have a machine that's far more accurate. Need a new battery? We'll install it free with purchase using our hands. No machine can replace those. Service is our best part.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Triano.
And welcome, everybody, just after 6 o'clock on this Thursday morning. I wanted to say Friday. Soon enough, 24 hours from now, that'll be the deal. But for now, it is Thursday, and we are going to make the best of it. And the best of it, indeed. We have an amazing show lined up for you today. Seriously, and let me just give you the lineup. And tell me if there's anybody else doing radio in this town that can come close to what we're going to do today. In our 7 o'clock hour, just after 7 o'clock, we're going to be interviewing Kevin Epling. Kevin is the father of Matt Epling, the young boy who Matt's Safe School Law is named after. Matt Epling killed himself after a hazing incident, a bullying incident. Kevin Epling is not a happy man with what the Republicans did with Senate Bill 137. Now, we know the House is going to change that anti-bullying law, but will it enumerate? Will it do what it needs to do? Kevin Epling has a point of view. I think you deserve to hear it, and you will, right here on First Shift. Congressman Hanson Clark will join us today. He and many congressmen around the country are worried that our veterans are not getting work. They will focus on that today, and after that, we will visit with Occupy Detroit in our 8 o'clock hour. I'm happy to have back on the show President of the American Federation of Teachers, David Hecker. So we have an amazing lineup for you today, and we might as well just get going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Hindsight, is that actually two words? Well, I don't know. I think it's one word. Well, we'll hyphenate it and make it one. Hindsight. Hindsight is this amazing gift that actually is not a gift that keeps on giving. Hindsight is this odd but wonderful tool that I think allows us to move forward more comfortably, more educated, more responsibly. But hindsight, if you'll ask Joe Paterno and others, hindsight is one of those things that is a word that is often used as an excuse. I don't know. Hindsight is, again, a blessing and a curse. Oh, if we could all just go back, right? In hindsight, I would have done. Well, in hindsight, it looked like. Ah, yes, hindsight. Hindsight, hindsight. It is maybe the bridge between then and where we're going, but it's a bridge many of us really don't want to travel for the most part. Usually, if we use the word hindsight, it is not necessarily in a positive way. Our first word today is what? That's right. Hindsight. And good morning to all of you. Just about 10 minutes after 6 o'clock, we welcome back to the program
producer extraordinaire Jeff Radford. And Jeffrey, good morning to you.
Good morning. It's not a not a Booyah Friday at all?
It is not a Booyah Friday. In fact, there's a reason it's not a Booyah Friday.
Because it's Thursday?
Well, yeah, that would be one of them. That would probably be the biggest reason. But there's some serious stuff going on. You know, Booyah is usually more of a fun phrase, and there's nothing... Well, I mean, it's not that we're not going to have a little bit of fun today, but we had some really serious stuff on our agenda today, including, and if you would, go ahead and play the Penn State audio.
...of the university to have a change in leadership to deal with the difficult issues that we are facing. The Board of Trustees and Graham Spanier have decided that effective immediately, Dr. Spanier is no longer president of the university. In addition, Joe Paterno is no longer the head football coach, effective immediately. These decisions were made after careful deliberations and in the best interests of the university as a whole. Penn State has always strived for honesty, integrity, and the highest moral standards in all of our activities. We promise you that we are committed to restoring public trust to our university. Now, before we take your questions, I'd like to remind you that we do not yet know all the facts, and there are many details that have yet to be worked out. But Steve and I will now be available to answer as many questions as we can.
All right. So that basically gives us the foundation. Now, Jeff, this is not a sports story any longer, although it certainly has that element. And but this is far beyond being a sports story at this point. This is about a tragedy, that actually repeated tragedies, and we don't know the final toll here. What do we know? Well, we know some, but we don't know a lot. And at the end of the day, was the right decision made? In my opinion, yes. Although I have to tell you, at a very real core level, it breaks my heart that a man of Joe Paterno's character, and I think he is a man of character. I don't want to question that. I think that, you know, he was a legend in his own mind. I think that part of that is true. But to end a celebrated career this way, Jeff, is really, really tough. It is. It's tough. I mean, I'm just being honest. I'm speaking from my heart now.
I don't think he, before this happened, I don't think he was going to retire at the end of the year. I think he was going to be on for a while. And then this forced him to say yesterday morning after our show that he was going to retire at the end of the year, thereby forcing the university's hand. Either say, you know, yeah, okay, we're going to let him go out on his own terms, but again, earlier than anyone expected, than he expected or anyone expected, or to do what they did yesterday. And you just had to know that there was going to be repercussion. People were going to be upset on the campus. And I'm not saying because this kids rioted and the melee and destruction that took place that you will postpone it. But I don't know that I would have gotten rid of him right away. And we had a little discussion before the show. If you do, you clean house, in my opinion. You put someone in there. I guess that throws away the whole season, though, but you can't. The guy that they have in there now has been there since the 70s. So the difference to me is I don't know. I just don't see it. If there was somebody who just joined the staff, but the players completely trust and it hasn't been around, you know, in the 90s, then okay.
Well, you and I talked about this before the show, and we disagreed on this. I don't necessarily feel a connection between the interim head coach and Joe Paterno. I don't think that anybody that's been on the staff since the 70s should be fired, because we really don't know what they know, and I want to be very careful there.
We don't know what Joe knows then.
No, we don't know what Joe knows. We have no idea. But certainly he has more culpability, Jeff, because we know that he was directly addressing this, that somebody came to him, personally came to him and said, I saw this. And we know what he did at that point. Now, we don't know what he said, and we only know what he did at that point is the key three words there. Did he do any follow-up? Well, if you look on the surface, it doesn't seem like he did, right? I mean, we just don't know.
Right, but he put it in the hands of Penn State, and now Penn State's firing him for doing that.
He did put it in the hands of Penn State. We have to remember, and we had this conversation yesterday, At some point, Sandusky, Jerry Sandusky, who is the football coach in question here that has been accused of molesting at least nine, as many as 20 boys, and I'm talking boys, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. What we do know is that he continued this behavior after he knew, Coach Paterno knew that he had been caught molesting a 10-year-old boy in the locker room. He continued to bring young people around the stadium, around the locker room. Now, again, do you turn the other cheek? Do you say, well, he was really involved in this foundation? I believe he founded the foundation, did he not?
Yeah, he started it.
All right. And so do you just turn the other cheek? Is that what Joe Pa did? Or did he at some point say, you know, I know I was told that, because I'm sure he was told at some point they did an investigation, which they did. They didn't charge him with anything. So, you know, maybe he said, okay, well, it's cool. They didn't, you know, there was this, you know, differing of opinion. We don't know. And again, there's a lot of stuff that we don't know. Again, I read the indictment. I read the indictment. The indictment is not complete. Now that we're finding out other information, based on what I read, there are holes in it. But I don't have access to that information, Jeff, nor do you. And I would suggest that there's a lot more investigating that's going to have to go on. I think this is far from being done being investigated. But I don't know that you fire the entire staff. It's not fair to the kids that are there right now. That's all I'm saying. You can't penalize the kids in the program, and they're young men in the program right now. I think that's just wrong. My opinion, that's just it.
If this is the case, too, as well, I've already started to get on the thought that if you're the Big Ten, you cut ties with Penn State. And I put that out there, and somebody responded already and said, you can't do that. The school would sue. They would win, and it would be a big mess. But if you're the Big Ten and you hold yourself and your members to a higher standard, they're looking to add schools. And every time you hear they're adding schools, well, the school's got to fit. The morals and the values of the school have to be there, and it has to be a strong fit, and they have to hold themselves to a higher standard because, dang it, this is the Big Ten. How do you say that and be strong about that when you're going to let this still happen?
A lot. I don't disagree with that, and I think a lot of it, Jeff, will be dictated, and we'll pick it up after the break. A lot of it will be dictated by what the investigation discovers, you know, what they find in discovery. A quick break here, 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org. On Twitter at Tony Truppiano. Feel free to give us a call. We're going to pick this up on the other side. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Bundle up. It's a chilly one out there. We'll be back. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to say this. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at a disabled vehicle out there on I-96 to Jeffries westbound at Joy, so keep an eye for that. It is in the right lane. Aside from that, we are looking pretty good out there. Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, rain and snow showers likely after 10 a.m., increasing clouds, a high in the mid-40s, gusty winds out of the southwest as well. Tonight, slight chance of rain and snow before 1 a.m., cloudy, a low around 32. And then tomorrow, slight chance of rain and snow, once again, partly sunny, a high near 44. Right now, it's overcast and 41 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Play EA Sports NCAA Football 12 Pick'em presented by Lowe's. Visit the Lowe's Home Improvement Facebook page, pick the winning college football games, and you'll be entered to win weekly prizes from EA Sports. Lowe's is an official corporate partner of NCAA Football. No purchase necessary until 11:59 p.m. Central Time on 12 to 11, subject to official rules at facebook.com/Lowe's.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell batteries. Oh, no. We install them fast and free with purchase on most vehicles. And we mean fast. If strapping on an experimental jetpack would help us install your battery any faster, we'd do it. Unfortunately, jetpacks can be squirrely. Too bad, because we really wanted those things. Fast, free battery installation at Advance. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo on 1310 WDTW.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
It's 22 minutes after 6 o'clock again. Thank you for punching in this early morning. It's a tough way to start the day when you're talking about something that is so tragic. A pedophile that was entrusted and founded an organization that helped troubled youth only to further exacerbate their lives by sexually forcing yourself on them as an adult. And then to bribe them with gifts and accoutrement that, honestly, I find so disgusting and distasteful. And this isn't just even about morals and values. And it's not even about, you know, guilt and not guilt. It's reprehensible what this man did. There is, by any account, a lot that went wrong here. The president of a prestigious university is without a job today. The head coach, 46 years, holding stature, esteem, records galore.
Why is Joe Pa fired today? Is it as punishment, or is it because it's perception and you're trying to stop the bleeding? I guess
both.
Because I don't get the punishment part. He's not going to learn a lesson, I guess. It's not like, okay, for the next...
Oh, you're saying punishing him.
Right, yeah.
I think it's about ethically the right thing to do. I mean, ethically the right thing to do is to remove him.
Here's the funny thing, or not funny, but here's the crazy part. Joe Pa's gone, right? The grad assistant who witnessed it is still on the staff.
Do you feel he did something wrong, Jeff?
If you think Joe Pa deserves...
No. Answer my question. Do you think the grad assistant did something wrong?
Eventually, yes.
What did he do wrong?
He stayed on the staff and worked with this guy for, like, what, 9 years? Knowing full well. I guess not 9 years. The guy was around the program, like you said, bringing kids to the thing, kept his mouth shut the entire time after all of that.
Okay, first of all, he was on the staff with this guy in less than a season. Because he left, he was removed, Sandusky was removed at the end of that year. So he stayed on the staff. I agree with you. You know, you and I both listen to a lot of sports talk radio. We've heard how many different points of view on this. How many people, and I know you've heard it as much as I, how many people are absolutely ravenously livid at this grad student?
A lot.
I mean, it's blowing my mind how much they've placed responsibility in this kid's hands. You and I were having this conversation yesterday. Because, you know what, Jeff, you and I don't know what we would have done because it's easy to say what you think you would do, but then I don't know. I don't know what I would have done.
Yeah, but that's not the issue. I mean, we've had this discussion. We both say
it's part of the issue.
We don't know what we would have done. But my point is, and I don't care if you think what he did is wrong or right, whatever, but if Penn State is cleaning this up from a perception point of view, you got rid of Joe Pa, but you didn't get rid of this guy.
It's not just about perception. It's not. It's about the ethics. It's about ethics and values and morals. Now, again, I don't know this grad student, by the way, is no longer a grad student. What is his position on the staff? Do you know?
I think he is a position coach. I think it's wide receivers, but I'm not sure.
So what? The only thing that we know for sure that he did is he we'll call it allegedly, just for the sake of the argument right now. He allegedly saw a 10-year-old boy being raped. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. And so he freaked out, called his father, and said, "Dad, you're not going to believe what I just saw." Dad said, "You know what? You need to come over to the house right away." He did. He said, "You need to go tell Coach Paterno." He called Joe Paterno. He said, "You need to come to the house." He went to the house, talked to him. And at that point, all we really know is that Joe Pa then turned to the university, right? Do I understand that to be correct?
So far, yeah.
All right. Now, this young man's responsibility at that point is what? Great question. Should he have still gone to the police? I don't know. If he was led to believe that he did know the police were contacted because he was interviewed, if I understand correctly, 9 days after the incident. If I remember from reading the indictment, that it was 9 days after the incident he was interviewed. He was found to be a credible witness. So here's the question for me. Now, we'll get back to whether or not he should still be on the staff for a minute. If he was found to be a credible witness, Jeff, why wasn't Jerry Sandusky charged with anything?
That's a very good question.
Yeah, it really is. So do you believe there's a cover-up? Because I do.
Yeah.
Okay. Does this grad assistant, should he have to pay for any of this? I don't know, but I don't think so. Because it's not just about public perception. It's not just about cleaning house to clean house. You have to be responsible about it. They also have a fiduciary responsibility to the university. You start just wholesale blanket firing people, dude, you're going to have more lawsuits than you know what to do with. So you've got to be very, very conscious of how you let people go. I mean, there is a legal process here, and you do, as cold as that sounds, you do have to be a little careful.
I'm struggling here to see the difference between an employee who witnesses it, passes it along the chain of command, and one of them gets fired and one of them does not.
Well, the one that got fired, all right, perceivably, because again, we don't know the entire truth, did nothing after he told. That's what I'm led to believe. That after Joe Pa shared it, that
same,
was it.
Same with the other guy.
No, that's not true. He interviewed with the police. He was part of an investigation. He cooperated.
Yeah, but he witnessed it.
Okay.
All Joe's doing is a guy comes to him and gives him at that point, it's a rumor. Joe has no idea.
Okay, all right, listen, you know what? You've never been the CEO of anything. So let me just, and that is not, Jeff, I am not trying to insult you. That's not what I'm saying. Ultimately, you're responsible. I've owned lots of businesses. I've always tried to hire the best managers, but ultimately, I'm responsible. And if I ask one of my managers to do something, I will make an assumption because of the faith and confidence I have in them that they've actually done it. But do you think I didn't go check to make sure they did? Didn't Joe Pa have some responsibility to make sure that something was done here? Now, maybe he did and we're just not aware of it. But honestly, don't you think that it should have been just more, "Hey, man, I told him," and at that point, you know, I washed my hands of it.
Well, and this gets into a whole unique discussion about the football coach is now more important than the president of a university. So
Which could be true at Penn State, if you believe the lore.
Yeah, but at the same time, those same people who say that also say, well, Joe Pa hasn't coached the team in years. He's too old and feeble and doesn't know what the heck's going on.
And I don't believe that for a minute. Listen, I don't think he's as active and engaged as he was 10 years ago, but I don't think he's some patsy. I mean, I don't. I don't think he's a patsy. Do you?
I think you can't say one thing and then say the other. And you're not. I'm not saying you are, but there are people out there who say, oh, he hasn't coached forever. Oh, but he's completely liable for the. I mean, one way or the other.
That's my point.
Is he fully in or is he fully out?
Yeah, that's it. He's fully in. I'm sorry. I cannot believe, because I think it would be way too transparent. If he was just doing nothing every day, and I don't think that's what's happening. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back. We also have the GOP debate. I was there yesterday. Sweet God, was I there yesterday? The wind, the cold, and that was just the Republicans. But I'm bummed. Anyway, a lot more to get to. David in Farmington, when we come back. Stay with us. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Trupiano.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. This civil traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. Things overall are looking just fine out through the freeways right now. That disabled vehicle we had out there on 96, the Jeffries westbound at Joy Road, that has just cleared. I'm Russ with traffic.
Stop by McDonald's today and start collecting McCafe rewards points. Points are available on all medium and large hot McCafe and premium roast coffee cups. Collect 5 points and your sixth beverage is free. Start collecting points today. McCafe rewards, only available at McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, a rain snow mix likely after 10 a.m. today. Increasing clouds, a high near 45. Tonight, slight chance of rain and snow before 1 a.m. Cloudy, a low red around the freezing mark. And then tomorrow, slight chance of rain and snow showers. Once again, partly sunny, a high in the mid-40s. Right now, it's overcast and 41 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
The Bible does not say that money is the root of all evil. Rather, it condemns the love of money. Today, that insidious love, taking the form of greed and excess, is celebrated in our country and has even been exalted into official public policy, marring our economy with inequality and injustice. The reigning ethos of our nation's upper crust is that too much is not enough. They're not merely out to make loads of the money they love, but to make a killing, everyone else be damned. New numbers from the Congressional Budget Office confirm that as the moneyed elites have been making their killing, wealth disparity has become extreme in a country that once prided itself on trying to build a more egalitarian society. Analyzing 30 years of income data, the nonpartisan CBO reports that the richest 1% of our population has enjoyed a stunning 275% increase in their income during that time. As a result, these privileged few have more than doubled the slice of America's income pie that they consume, going from 8% to 17% of the whole in just 3 decades. From whom did these richest 1%ers get their extra big slice? From us, the 99%. The share going to middle class and poor families shrank in this period, which is why there is such broad support today for Occupy Wall Street's We Are the 99% movement. At the tippy top of America's wealth pyramid are the multimillionaire CEOs and billionaire Wall Streeters. They are the richest 1/100th of 1%ers, less than 15,000 households. These few now take 6% of all U.S. income, the biggest piece ever consumed by America's mega-rich. This is Jim Hightower saying, the widening chasm between the rich and the rest of us is transforming our country from a society to a jungle. And not even billionaires will enjoy living there.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out HightowerLowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after the hour. Welcome back. Before we move on to the GOP debate last night, let's go to the phones. And we want to welcome David in Farmington. Hey, David, good early morning to you. Thanks for punching in with us.
Good morning. Yeah, I think there's something that you're not, that really we're not really seeing fully is the reason why Joe Paterno should have gotten, deserved to get fired, and it was the right move, versus the assistant. Joe Paterno allowed Jerry Sandusky around the program for years afterwards. It shouldn't have been a day after. Certainly Joe Paterno had the power to say, you know what, we can't afford to have you in our program and around campus anymore. And he allowed him to use the campus, use the prestige to further on his evilness. There's also a little caveat right at the end where he releases, I'm going to retire at the end of the season. The Board of Trustees doesn't need to worry about anything that's going on now. They should just worry about bigger things other than me. You know, that was the nail in the coffin. I think that was the nail in the coffin. You know, Joe Paterno's move come Monday morning should have been going to the Board of Trustees. Here's my resignation. Utilize it at the day that you wish.
No.
He didn't do that. He tried another little power play, and the trustees didn't have any choice because they had to show that they were in control, not Joe Paterno.
And I think, David, you're right. Jeff, what do you think about it? I think that David has, that when Joe Paterno put out that statement yesterday that, you know, I've made the decision to retire at the end of the year, so you don't need to worry about me. Do you think that forced their hands? I think David makes a good point there.
Yeah, I said that earlier. Forced their hands. And they either had to agree. And, you know, then you know who runs the university, or, you know, they do what they did.
Yeah. All right, David, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. That made a lot of sense. And then again, real quickly, Jeff, I guess I hadn't really thought about that, but he's right. The research assistant doesn't decide who gets to stay and who gets to go. Joe Paterno allowed this man to hang around the program for years afterwards, and he's right. He should have put a stop to it. Right.
Yeah, but the research assistant actually saw, or the grad assistant actually saw what was going on. All right. If you're Joe Paterno, and again, the reports are these guys didn't quite get along. They worked together. They probably respected each other's coaching ability. But here, you know, you think you know, I guess maybe you think you know a guy. Here comes a rumor. An investigation happens. Investigation closes and says, no big deal. And you're like, okay, well, obviously that rumor didn't really happen. Here comes a grad assistant, comes into your office. And says something, and you know, you can't just say, okay, what you're saying, what you're telling me right now, completely true, and I'm going to fire him right away. I mean, what if saying that there's a chance where he's innocent and this comes along, you know, you can't, Joe doesn't know, you know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't witness it himself.
Yeah, but he's an at-will employee. He doesn't have the right to work there unless Joe Paterno gives him the right to work there, and he doesn't need to give him reason to fire him. He doesn't. He's an at-will employee.
He wasn't employed, though. He's not fired. I mean, there's no firing going on.
Then he should have gone to the athletic director. Maybe he did. I don't know. He should have gone to somebody and said, this man should not be on this campus. And we got to move on. We got a lot to get to. We'll if we've got time in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll come back to it because the 7:30 hour is just packed. All right, last night was the GOP debate at Oakland University. I was there. Got a little bit weird for me because the group that I actually came with, they were a little delayed because they were so nice. They went and picked up people from Occupy Detroit. So they were a little delayed getting there. By the time they got there, I had to go in to interview the chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee, and then I was there much longer than I thought it would be. So I never did connect with those folks, but there were some protesters there. I'm not gonna misrepresent it. I was disappointed with the turnout. There were not a lot of people there yesterday. In general, I mean, even we were told there were going to be 1,000 Ron Paul supporters. There were not 1,000 Ron Paul supporters, I can promise you that. So I was a little disappointed. At the same time, they had the, what they called the free speech zone, which was a good quarter mile from the entrance to the arena where they had the debate last night. And, of course, the candidates never saw the groups anyway because they bring everybody in through the back door. With all that said, the debate itself was at times humorous, at other times serious, at other times, I don't know, enlightening. And for Rick Perry, well, let's just let this speak for itself. Rick Perry during last night's debate.
And I will tell you, it's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and the, what's the third one there? Let's see.
You need five.
Oh, five. Okay. So commerce, education, and
EPA?
EPA. There you go. No, okay.
Let's talk to
the... Seriously? Is EPA the one you were talking about?
Or? No, sir. We were talking about the... agencies of government. EPA needs to be rebuilt.
But
there's
you
no
can't,
doubt about
but
that.
But you can't name the third one?
The third agency of government. Yeah. I would do away with the education, commerce, and let's see. I can't. The third one, I can't. Sorry.
It was energy. It was energy.
The best part is the end. Oops.
Yeah, oops. Now, Jeff, being the brilliant producer he is, went out and found me a bunch of reaction to what happened. And it was really quite entertaining, Jeff, so thank you for finding it. Although, I think if the print on this page were any smaller, I would need a magnifying glass.
Yeah, the website that had that, they pulled it and they put it up there. It was impossible. I don't know. It was impossible to... To really figure out how to...
I'm an old man. It's really hard for me to read the small print. But with that said, I just love the woman that said, he has a thyroid problem. Did you read that one?
No.
This is here. Let me see if I can read it. It says, please read. I honestly think that Perry may be suffering from a thyroid problem. Now, I am not a doctor, but I do recognize the symptoms... in Perry as my own symptoms some time ago. Thyroid common symptoms include fatigue and fuzzy thinking. After seeing Perry's debate performance and his weekend weird speech, I am almost certain he has a serious health issue. Now, Jeff, you had posted that weird speech he did in New Hampshire onto the Facebook page. That was a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what she's referencing. But it's interesting because there are those that are defending him. Say, hey, he just had, you know, and a woman said this, you know, who amongst us, what parent amongst us hasn't, you know, forgotten a kid's name? Well, I've done it, you know, and, you know, listen, it's, I'm sure it's a legitimate gaffe. I don't think that, you know, I felt bad for him. To be honest with you, I felt bad for him because that is embarrassing as all hell. There's no question that's true. That is embarrassing.
And it doesn't mean that, you know, he's a bad guy or anything like that, but if you're running for presidency and this stuff keeps happening, these weird speeches and embarrassing moments.
Well, I think you'll agree with this. One of the posts that somebody put on the stuff you gave me was, hey, ladies and gentlemen, politics aside, debates and speeches are a job interview. When you're running for the presidency, these are considered job interviews, which I agree with, Jeff.
Right.
As a job interview, he failed.
Well, and that's the thing. Sometimes you interview for a job and you're perfect for it, but you make a mistake and it'll doom you. That's basically what's happening here. You just move on to the next job.
Yeah.
Not that there's another presidency he could run for.
No, well, maybe Italy, because that was, I don't know if you watched any of the debate. I watched the first 45 minutes or so. And Italy has a financial crisis, which caused our financial markets to melt down yesterday. Jim Cramer was on, you know, the wild man from CNBC. It was just funny listening to him question these candidates, because he's, if you've ever seen his show, Jeff, he's real high energy and he screams a lot. That's the way he was asking the questions. How can you possibly say? It was funny. It was truly funny. But anyway, Michelle Bachmann, totally irrelevant at this point. But Jeff, every single answer to this day, and I'll give her credit for the consistency, to this day, every single answer is, well, I appreciate that, but this is Barack Obama's fault. Every single answer.
Got to appreciate consistency, I guess. If you're going to stick to something, go down with the ship.
I mean, every single freaking answer. And at some point, you know, what they were at the bottom of the CNBC, because, you know, they do the scroll with the, the Wall Street symbols with, you know, their profit and loss, whatever, you know, their stock numbers and all that stuff. Underneath that crawl, they had a crawl of people that were tweeting during the debate. So I'm paying attention to that one. I'm not paying attention to where stocks are at. I don't happen to have any. So I'm watching this crawl, and some lady writes, it would really be nice if one of these candidates actually answered the question that they've been asked. Because none of them do. They don't ever answer the question that's asked.
We've said that after every debate we've heard so far. Like, it doesn't even, I don't know why a moderator is even there.
You're right. They might as well just let them talk about whatever they want to talk about. So it was really kind of entertaining. I don't think anything new comes of it. Mitt Romney, and let me remind everybody, because the Democratic Party doesn't leave it alone, and for justifiable reasons, Mitt Romney wanted the auto industry to go bankrupt. His answer to that is, I wanted to do a managed bankruptcy without federal dollars, and that wouldn't have worked, and we know that. And we know that what President Obama had the courage to do saved the auto industry and millions of jobs. But, you know, let's not talk about the minute details, huh? Let's take a quick break here. We'll talk a little bit more about the debate when we come back. Oh, very interesting stuff. If you've got a thought or a comment on it, feel free to give us a call. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
Remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. There is no reason not to follow your heart.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Curtis Ellis, Executive Director of the American Jobs Alliance. And tell us, what is the American Jobs Alliance all about?
Individuals across the country who care very much about having jobs in the U.S. and care very much about having a healthy domestic manufacturing base and domestic service base. That is, let's just talk turkey here, put it straight, not outsourcing. We can't be having everything made around the world and imported into this country. Americans have to produce what we use. We have to be producers as well as consumers, or else we'll never get out of the financial mess we're in. We're a post-industrial service economy. I don't have to tell you or your listeners what that's done to this country. You're at ground zero there in Detroit. We have grass growing in the streets of major cities. Cities have never seen
seen a depopulation like this since the Black Plague swept Europe.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiani page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Tribbiani on Twitter.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Tribbiani.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, talking about the GOP debate at Oakland University last night. The large police presence, no question that was true. Fairly peaceful. I didn't really see anything out of the ordinary, to be honest with you. This is what, and all of the local media was there, including WXYZ's Channel 7, and this is what they had to say about last night's debate.
Of course, with no clear winner in tonight's GOP debate here at Oakland University, but we talked to a political analyst who tells us a couple of the candidates did help their case more than others.
Three candidates really strengthened their candidacies: Mitt Romney, Michelle Bachmann, and Herman Cain. Each one of them demonstrated that they were strong debaters. They hit on key issues. They articulated things that their base wanted to hear. They demonstrated that they were potentially strong candidates to be president. I think that Romney did help his cause in Michigan by coming across as a very strong, polished speaker, clearly articulating his plans on taxes and health care and so on. Michelle Bachmann comes across as strong on taxes. She also appeals to the Republican base very well. Rick Perry didn't do very well tonight. He also hasn't been considered one of the major front runners for several weeks now. So it isn't like he hasn't really been vying for the leading position for a while.
And we have a reminder right now, going into tonight's debate, the latest polls put Romney and Cain at a virtual tie, 21% of Republican support. We'll see what the polls do the rest of the week and see if they hold those positions and who helped and who hurt themselves.
And there we go. That's Channel 7's Stephen Clark on the debate last night. Again, it's nothing is going to come out of these. I think they have, maybe five more debates before the primary season begins. And I could be wrong on that, but I believe it's somewhere in that neighborhood. Rick Perry might want to reconsider doing any more debates. I don't know, Jeff, you think about last night, and whether it's a gaffe or not, it happened, so you kind of deal with it. I think we determined that, hey, at the end of the day, it is a job interview, and if you flub the interview, you flub the interview. It happens, okay? Whether it's intentional, maybe he's got Alzheimer's. Funny thing is, in this list of excuses that you handed me that you found on the internet, somebody said, hey, Ronald Reagan used to do that all the time. Well, we come to find out he had Alzheimer's disease. So I don't know that that's going to be your defense for Rick Perry, just saying. Do you think the Rick Perry candidacy, for all intents and purposes, is over?
It probably was before this. This just, shut the door pretty hard.
Yeah, a little bit harder. Well, it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out, because Herman Cain does still have some PR problems to deal with. Whether these accusations are true or not, and I read a story this morning, one of the women that's accusing him of sexual harassment apparently may be a serial complainer. And what I mean by that is the next job that she had, she also left under the guise of being not sexually harassed, but treated inappropriately, and tried to get a severance deal out of them. So that doesn't bode well for her first story, unless, of course, they're both true, and then they're both true. I don't know her well enough to question her. I'm just saying that's something to watch for.
Well, she could be friendly, and people take it the wrong way, and then suddenly she's getting
absolutely,
the treatment that she doesn't want and doesn't deserve.
I'm not judging her. I'm just saying,
it happens a lot when someone comes forward like this. Then the response to the defense is to try and discredit whoever comes. Happens all the time. So
right. Well, and then they're saying, one woman had financial problems. Well, that has nothing to do with being sexually harassed.
If you think about like all the candidates, though, isn't Mitt Romney doing exactly what people do on Survivor? Like, he basically is staying, trying to stay away from the fray and letting everyone else get kicked off the island, and then it looks like he's going to rise to the top at the end.
I think he will be their nominee. When I was talking with Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz yesterday, you know, somebody had asked her, another member of the media had asked her, if they were assuming that Mitt Romney was the nominee. And, of course, she said, no, we don't assume anything, and the Republicans decide that. I don't decide that, which is right. I mean, that's true. She doesn't decide that. So I understand the question. I think at this point that Mitt Romney is certainly his to lose. Ann Coulter, by the way, Jeff, I don't know how to tell you this, or maybe you're the one that told me. But I think you're going to have to agree with something she said. So,
uh-oh, I didn't tell you that then.
All right, sit down. You sitting down?
Yes.
This is what she said. If Mitt Romney is the nominee and they couldn't recruit Chris Christie to run, Barack Obama will be reelected.
Oh, okay. Well, she finally said something sane.
Yeah, something sane. Yeah, she did say something sane. But that means we have to agree with her. It's okay if we do, but
there's a lot of ifs in there. She throws ifs in there.
Well,
if no Chris Christie.
Well, there is no Chris Christie because he has already backed out. So basically, she's conceding this election.
Yeah, but has Chris Christie backed out of being a vice presidential?
No, so but you don't vote. Trust me, the vice presidential choice does not help people make their decision. It would be such a small percentage of people that would vote for a presidential candidate because of the vice presidential name.
If Mitt Romney chose Chris Christie as his vice president, or if he chose Michelle Bachmann, do you think there's a difference?
Not enough to overcome what he'll have to overcome, no.
I think there's a huge difference. Not that I would vote either way,
With all due respect, Jeff, I've been around politics a whole lot longer than you have. A vice presidential candidate has never made that kind of difference. I think we're going to find. And what did we see the other day? How does Obama do against Herman Cain? He slaughters him.
Right.
How does he do against Mitt Romney? Slaughters him.
Yeah, I'm not saying it helps him go over the top, but I'm picking the wrong vice presidential candidate. Doesn't that...
Like Sarah Palin, maybe?
If you pick, yeah. If you pick the wrong one, it lessens yourself.
Well, here, I'll give you a good one. I don't necessarily... Yes, I think that if you pick... your vice presidential candidate can help you, but I think it's in such a small way. But it can hurt you in a bigger way. I think that Sarah Palin helped John McCain, as crazy as that sounds. I think she helped John McCain, just not enough to make a difference. And people would expect me to say, no, she hurt him. She did not hurt him. People actually like her. Let's keep that in our mind. And Jeff, don't forget, do you know where she lives, by the way?
Across the street from Russia.
You did know that. Okay. I wasn't sure if you knew that. But people actually liked her, so she actually helped him. Obviously not enough to make a difference, but the wrong choice can hurt you a lot more than the right choice can help you. So I don't think if he picked Chris Christie, I don't think it would be even close to giving him what he would need to get over the hump there. And he, to me, and maybe it's just me, but I don't feel like Mitt Romney is comfortable in his own skin. When he talks, I get the impression like he just isn't comfortable. And maybe it's just me, but I don't ever feel good about what he says. It's not even the way he says it. He speaks just fine. I don't feel like he's comfortable with himself. So anyway, all right. Well, listen, we'll maybe come back to this in the 8 o'clock hour. Certainly not before then, because we have a jam-packed 7 o'clock. Kevin Epling coming up. The sad story, Matt Epling committed suicide. Kevin has started an organization to help people understand. Lends Matt's name to a law that ends up enraging him at the end of the day. We'll get to that in the next hour. Congressman Hanson Clark, Occupy Detroit. And that'll be the hour. It'll go by really quick. I'm Tony Trupiano. Russ coming up with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. This is First Shift. Stay with us. We'll be back.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some minor delays on 696 westbound between Cousins and I-35, and increasing volumes on 35 southbound between 12 Mile down to I-696, but no major delays out there yet. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, a rain, snow mix likely after 10 a.m., a high in the mid-40s, some gusty winds into the southwest as well. Tonight, slight chance of that same rain and snow mix before 1 a.m., cloudy, a low around the freezing mark, and then tomorrow, same deal as today, chance of rain and snow, partly sunny, a high in the mid-40s. Right now, it's overcast and 41 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, it's the end of an era at Penn State University.
Joe Paterno is no longer the head football coach. Effective immediately.
University Vice Chairman of Trustees John Surma on the firing of Joe Paterno, the decision made because of how he handled the alleged child sex abuse case of a retired assistant coach. The school president also was removed. Parts of the Penn State campus turned into a riot scene after the announcement. Students threw rocks at buildings and overturned a TV news van. They were cleared out by police using pepper spray. What next for stocks? The Dow took a 389-point dive yesterday on the latest fears about Italy's debt crisis. Dow futures are up a fraction this morning, suggesting a higher opening at the morning bell. Presidential candidate Rick Perry is in damage control mode this morning, making the rounds of morning talk shows to try to patch up a big gaffe at last night's Republican debate. He stumbled badly in the course of naming three federal agencies he said he would eliminate if elected.
The third agency of government, yeah. I would do away with the education... commerce, and let's see, the third one I can't, sorry, oops.
A 5.7 magnitude earthquake hit eastern Turkey last night. At least seven people are known dead. Rescuers are trying to reach more than 100 others buried in rubble. Still no deal between NBA players and owners after another self-imposed deadline came and went. The owners had told the players to accept their last offer by yesterday afternoon, or the next offer would be worse. Both sides agreed to keep talking today. The start of the season is postponed at least through the end of this month. An Air Force general acknowledges that ashes of cremated body parts from some of the nation's war dead were dumped in landfills until 2008. The practice was stopped and remains from those cremated body parts are disposed of at sea. This is CNN Radio.
The cold season. The 100 toughest days of the year. When noses run more than sprinters in training. And there's not a thing you can do. Or can you? With 100,000 simple acts of relief, Robitussin is giving you a chance to get the relief you need. Like a prepaid gift card that can be used for things like a night away. Or you could win a grand prize of $100,000. So visit SimpleActsOfRelief.com and enter for your chance to win. Robitussin. Relief made simple.
No purchase necessary. Over to U.S. legal residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Runs 10/24 to 2/112. See official rules at SimpleActsOfRelief.com.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once. Literally, I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
The scandal of robo-signing foreclosure documents at big banks and the resulting investigations and paperwork backlogs put something of a timeout on foreclosures in this country. That timeout is over. This morning, housing researcher Realty Track reports a 10% increase in October from September in the number of bank default notices, the first step in foreclosure, the number of scheduled property auctions by banks increasing 8% last month. A concern of several of our nation's biggest companies is getting bigger as the debt crisis in Europe gets bigger. The credit crunch and probable recession, or worse, threatens to shake much of corporate America reliant on European business. Yesterday, GM changed the forecast for its European division from a profit to a loss because of the crisis. Analysts at Reuters find firms including GE, McDonald's, Philip Morris, and Dow Chemical also are at risk of severe earnings drags from Europe's mess. Following nasty sell-offs in markets yesterday, European indexes have bounced back. S&P futures positive by 12 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
There it is! Let's follow it and see where it goes.
A new kind of broadband company is here. We're CenturyLink, linking Americans coast to coast to what matters. Our consistently fast speeds save you from interruptions and slowdowns, and since we're locally operated, you'll be met by honest personal service. We're committed to providing a better experience with 5-year price guarantees and more ways to customize your technology.
I think it's headed across the country.
CenturyLink, your link to what's next. Find out more at CenturyLink.com.
Oh, give me freedom.
You hear that? That's the sound of 68 million shopping carts being filled, 275,000 homes being built. Yep, that's the sound of a CSX train doing its part to move the economy forward. Sounds pretty good. CSX trains are the most efficient way to bring goods to market. See how at CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Nerlman? I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell batteries. Oh, no. We install them fast and free with purchase on most vehicles. And we mean fast. If strapping on an experimental jetpack would help us install your battery any faster, we'd do it. Unfortunately, jetpacks can be squirrely. Too bad, because we really wanted those things. Fast, free battery installation at Advance. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
Solidarity, a union of interests or purposes or sympathies among members of a group. Union, the state of being united, an organization of workers. Justice, the administering of deserved punishment or reward. Fairness, free from dishonesty or injustice. Equality, the state of quality of being equal. First Shift with Tony Tripiano. It's about freaking time.
And welcome, everybody. Tony Tripiano with you on this Thursday morning. Crisp and cool outside. We have an amazing hour for you. The whole hour really may be the best hour that we will do since we've been on the air back in May. A little later on, as we do at 7:50 every day, we'll be visiting with Occupy Detroit. At the bottom of this hour, Congressman Hanson Clark will be with us, placing focus where it needs to be, jobs for veterans, especially disabled veterans. But before we get there, this interview that I'm about to do next is something that's been weighing heavy on my heart now for a few days. And I spent a considerable amount of time yesterday on a website that I want to send you to before I get to my guest. If you will go to mattepling.com, that's mattepling.com, mattepling.com. Spend some time there. Especially spend some time on Matt's writings, because you're going to find some extraordinary wisdom from a very young mind. I was both haunted and pleased with what I read, and disheartened in some ways, brokenhearted in a lot of ways. But let me set this up a little differently. Joining us now is Matt's father. Matt, as of course, if many of you know, is the Matt in Matt Saves School Law. And Kevin Epling has dedicated his life since his son's death to talking and dealing with issues that affect all too many young people around the country, not just here in the state of Michigan. Many of you responded to my placing on our Facebook page a few days ago, Kevin Epling's dialogue, if you will, on what the state Senate had done to Matt Save School Law and his distrust and disgust for what they had done. And Kevin Epling joins us now. Kevin, I can't begin to tell you how grateful I am that you're taking the time to be with us today. My heart breaks for you and your wife. As the father of three boys, I can't fathom the pain that you've had to endure, and just know that my thoughts and prayers are with you.
No, thank you very much, Tony, for that, and especially, you know, for taking the time to read Matt's writings. I think that's important for people to kind of realize what we've lost. You know, every time we lose a child, you know, we lose a piece of our future as a society. So thank you for that, and thank you for the time to be on. I'm more than happy to be here for everyone.
Would you mind if I read one piece of Matt's poetry?
No, go right ahead.
This one just kind of really, really resonated with me for whatever reason it did. It's titled The Window by Matt Epling. As I peer out the window, I see a tree, a young tree tall, but dwarf compared to the maple, which towers over all I can see. The creek rolls silently through the yard. The smell of fresh-cut grass rolls heavily through the air, and then the smell of rain, faint but still there, for it just rained. I jump, startled. I look out and see my dog prancing about the yard, howling. Then I spot a furry creature in the tree. Then the rain comes again, not big drops, but plentiful. I step in the grass. It clings to my shoes. I walk on. The air smells new and clean as if it took a shower. As I pick a strawberry, water tumbles off the side. Ripe, I bite it, exposing the ripeness. The juice is so sweet. The taste is refreshing, like the summer rain, and I smile. Kevin, that's just beautiful.
Yeah, that's the view. You know, that's our backyard.
No, that's just beautiful.
That's what Matt had two sides. He had a very introspective, you know, sensitive side, and then he had a very outgoing. He loved BMX biking. He loved skateboarding. You know, he was a pretty complex young man, but also, you know, he had a lot of friends. He was an average young kid. You know, he had a lot of friends who always came to our house. He was always about helping his classmates, and most of all, making them laugh. You know, he had a tremendous dry sense of humor, and you know, he started a comedy improv class at his middle school because he loved comedy so much.
Well, there's no question that he touched the lives of many, many people. And Kevin, if you wouldn't mind sharing with this audience what happened.
No, on Matt's last day of eighth grade in 2002, Matt was actually home. He was lured out of the house by some other classmates to go to the park, and around the corner sat a parked car, and hidden behind that car were three upperclassmen who kind of jumped out. They restrained Matt and one of his friends. They smashed them with eggs. They poured syrup on them, basically said, welcome to high school, because these were, you know, these would have been returning school members in the fall, and Matt would have been a freshman. Welcome to high school. You know, this is your life in high school. Get used to it. Don't tell anybody, you know, we'll kill your dog. So, there's a lot of things went back and forth. It became a little more physical with Matt and one of the assailants until somebody else stepped in. I talked with Matt immediately following the assault and battery report was done. But back then, you have to think this is 9 years ago. Not a lot was done. You know, schools didn't really look at it that way. Police didn't think it was a big issue. And even though we talked with Matt, this really hit him deeper than what we thought. And the night before we were to go and talk with police, roughly 40 days later, Matt took his life, which turned our life, you know, upside down and put us in a totally different direction for what we're going to be doing.
Well, there's no question. And again, thank you for sharing that. I'm sure that can't be easy for you. You obviously at some point recognized that through this struggle, through this very difficult story, that you could help other people. And I'd like you to share with this audience now, and of course through MattEpling.com they can reach out to you. But I think you made a very courageous and correct decision to share Matt's story and to help other people along the way. What are you doing, Kevin, at this point?
Well, we're doing quite a bit, and it is something that's not very, very easy to talk about. But we figured what happened to us is because no one spoke out about this. After Matt was assaulted, you know, we heard from people, oh, this happens every year, even talking with police. Oh, yeah, this is normal. It's just fun games. Everyone just letting this pass landed on our doorstep, and I chose not to be that person to continue that. You know, we have to stand up. So I started standing up and talking about this in 2003, the year after Matt passed away. got involved with Bully Police USA that was formed by Brenda High, you know, to just to kind of be a person to talk with out there. Got involved with the legislation in 2005. And in the meantime, I have worked diligently with educators, with law enforcement, with students, anyone who will listen on this issue. And so I speak at schools. I speak at community events. I just got back from a conference, you know, talking about this subject. So I have about my dissertation has been about 7-8 years in the trenches, learning as much as I can about this subject matter and then giving that information to people.
Yeah, and no question. And if and again, I want to just direct people to mattepling.com. We'll get that up on our Facebook page as well. But
thank you.
If people, you know, certainly there are people that are going to resonate with what you have to say this morning. And I just want them, Kevin, to know that you're there for them, which is the point of my saying that. Obviously, you've worked with a plethora of lawmakers over the years, too, as legislatures change over. I'm sure you've had to educate more than one or two of them, Kevin.
I have spent a lot of time at the circus.
Fair enough. At what point do you allow Matt's name to be attached to this law?
Well, I think, you know, that's a big question. Everybody, especially after last week, you know, how can you have Matt's name on this? You have to have, you have to just immediately remove Matt's name.
Oh, I don't agree with that.
And I don't either. And I said no. I said because, you know, I'm doing this for a purpose. I'm not doing this for a party. I'm not doing this for a group, an organization. I am not doing this for myself. It may have Matt's name on this, but this is for all those kids that we've lost over the years, and it will be for all those kids who are being tormented every day. I want to get down to the nuts and bolts and make sure schools are actively looking at this issue. It's one of these issues that schools have kind of put in the corner because they really don't know how to deal with it. And now it just has festered and it's overblown. And the easiest example I can give you is 5 years ago, across the United States, schools made this conscious decision to not address cyberbullying. As long as it happened off school grounds, they didn't have to deal with it. Biggest mistake they ever could have done. They really needed to look that anything that happens off school grounds will sooner or later manifest itself in the schools. And that's why cyberbullying exploded, because the kids knew nobody's watching the store. We can't get in trouble for this. And it just exploded. And now we're trying to have to reel that back in. And, you know, once something gets so far down the road, it's pretty hard. Now it becomes twice as difficult. So I want to make sure that, you know, parents are involved, students get involved, and, you know, local law enforcement, community mental health, everybody has a role to play in anti-bullying.
All right. Now, before we get into specifically what happened last week and that infamous video that you did that I know that many people have looked at. Now, we've got to get to the break here in just about a minute, so I don't want to interrupt that. Let me just share this with people. As we take a look at what's happening, and folks, you've all heard me say this on the show a million times, the Republicans are afraid to protect all of us, and I don't know why that is. They hide behind some moralistic or valuistic placard. But the bottom line is it's about as cheap as the paper a placard is made on. And it is time we protect everybody. And I think Kevin will agree with me. But we're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back and talk about what this law should say now that we know Senate Bill 137 is history. And we need to move forward. We do need to protect all people. Let's take a quick break. If you care to join us, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. I'll return with Kevin Epling right after we do this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
We're going to focus on the number one priority on Americans' minds right now, and that is creating jobs. If we have to drag the Republicans with us, then we'll do that.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some delays on 75 southbound between 12 mile down to 8 mile. And an accident just popped up, 96 eastbound at Kensington Road. Accident there on the shoulder causing some minor conquer delays in the area. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, we're looking at some rain and snow showers likely after 10 a.m. A high in the mid-40s. Tonight, again, a slight chance for a rain or snow shower before 1 a.m. Cloudy, a low around 32 degrees. And then Veterans Day, Slight chance of rain and snow once again. Partly sunny, a high in the mid-40s. Right now, it's partly cloudy and 41 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
It's the two-day sale this Friday and Saturday at Toys R Us. Doorbusters Friday 3 p.m. through Saturday 1 p.m. Don't miss our biggest board-game sale of the year. Plus, buy one, get one free on hot picks from Hot Wheels, Crayola, Matchbox, and more. Get them everything on their wish list. And now, take time to pay with layaway. Only at Toys R Us, the world's greatest toy store.
Free item must be of equal or lesser value to item purchase. Certain restrictions and exclusions apply. Store hours may vary. Visit a store or ToysRUs.com for details.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Chapstick asks, do you use Chapstick Lip Shield 365 in sand or snow?
Hi, I'm Sandy Sanderson, and I just love the sand. Quicksand, ampersands, sandalwood scented candles. And I wear Chapstick Lip Shield 365 to keep my lips protected from the sun year-round. My boyfriend here also wears it.
Yeah, I'm Sleety McNipperson, and I like snow. Snow tires, snow peas, snow leopards, snow
crabs.
Are
you sand or snow? Either way, new Chapstick Lip Shield 365 with SPF 50 has you covered. And have your say at Facebook.com/Chapstick.
Recently on First Shift.
So joining me now is the new president of the Michigan AFL-CIO, Carla Swift.
There's a lot of work to be done, and there's a great opportunity to come together and work on turning things around in Michigan. And the AFL is the centerpiece of the movement for standing up for working men and women and protecting the middle class and fighting for good jobs with fair pay and benefits.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after the hour. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. Kevin Epling is my guest. Again, if you go to mattepling.com, that's Matt, M-A-T-T, Epling, E-P-L, ing.com, and we do have it up on the Facebook page, by the way. You can get a lot more information. Kevin, thanks for staying with us during the break. Let's talk about what happened last week. Senate Bill 137 made national headlines, not for what it did, but for what it wouldn't do. And I know that angered you a great deal.
Yeah, it went international. I mean, I received, you know, probably close to 500 emails in a span of 2 days. It crashed Matt's website. I got notices from the United Kingdom, from Australia, Canada, you name it. Everybody was outraged because this was something that it was not in the bill until they came into the floor. And it was just, you cannot create something, an anti-bullying bill, and then put in this kind of, oh, but it's okay for this one singular reason. And for years, you know, trying to get this through our Michigan legislature was you cannot have any special protections. You know, and a lot of times we had enumeration or other things in there. Oh, no, you can't do that. And then here they come out with the first chance they get to pass it, they stick in a special protection. So it was, yes, it was very infuriating to a lot of people, and especially the vagueness, but also at the directness of only one particular group that would get protection.
Correct. Now, let's talk about the opportunity we have now. We know that SB 137 has been scrapped, and the House has said that they're willing to compromise. But, Kevin Epley, the question here is, where do we need a compromise? I would think that the only way to truly protect all kids is to do an enumerated law. Is there any other way to do it, really?
Well, I think, you know, we do have the opportunity to kind of move forward on this, and try to get players from both sides to look at it and move forward and make sure that every school has a policy that is addressing bullying. One of the best things, you know, we can put enumeration in there. Other states have done it. Some states haven't. But I think you also have to look at, who is voting on this. You know, and who has the power right now, and are we able to kind of push certain things? So we have to come to kind of a middle ground. Not everybody's going to be happy, but we also have to have a policy, because schools have been asked since 2001 to have a policy, and here we are 2011, and we have no idea how many schools actually have policies and what they're doing. We've kind of wasted a lot of time, you know, squabbling, and we should have had a policy in place years ago with mandated reporting, so now we would have had all of the data. And that's one of the things I really would like to see in the new law, too, is mandated reporting all the way to the state level of incidents and responses, so that we will have, say, in a year, 2 years, concrete data of what's happening in our schools, and then make those decisions. Do we have to go back, like other states have done, and amend laws? That's what we need. We need the reporting, first of all, put in here.
Well, you know, and I, first of all, we, of course, agree on everything that you've said. I think the reporting is significant just for the reason that you've expressed it. It gives you an opportunity to make sure that the policies that are in place are effective.
Right.
You know, and let's remember, we're talking about protecting children. We're talking about, Kevin Epling, at the end of the day, saving lives.
That's what it comes down to, Tony. I mean, it really does come down to getting something in place, motivating the students themselves into action to say, you know what, there's probably 10% of your students in your entire school that are really upsetting the environment. What are the 90% of you doing? You know, even in our schools, we have to motivate them to become the hero in their hallway, to stand up and say, you know, that's not acceptable in our school. In most times, like school shootings, a lot of the student body knew and no one said anything. We have to get out of that culture, and we have to get students to do a better job. When they see something wrong, they're going to say something. Not like what we had last week. We had 26 people who saw something wrong and didn't say a word and just got in the lemming line and went off the cliff. You know, we have to educate our kids to be thinking human beings, what that other person is going through. And I'm not going to assault that person just because I think I have a free pass or I have a right. And somehow in the school society, there's this right has been built that upperclassmen can do this or certain cliques can do this. We want to start eroding those. We want to make sure that we have better environments in our school and a policy that says it's not acceptable in any way, shape, or form. That's going to help.
Yeah, you know, Kevin, there are few people in this world that are more anti-hazing than I am, for a variety of reasons. But I abhor hazing. I abhor disrespect of other people. I think that we should be celebrating our differences. I think about my time as a young kid going through puberty, being in high school, the intimidation of just being there, Kevin, let alone having to deal with, you know, being harassed and all the other things that go with it. I know everybody, most people survive that. Most people, Kevin, but not everyone.
Not everyone, because I can ask you right now, Tony, do you remember the school bully?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. In every conference I go to, I ask people, do they remember? And every hand in that room will go up, because, you know, we don't get over it. We just bury it. You know, we carry it with us. It formulates who we become as adults. You know, and people have just been not looking at this at all. And the connection to the suicide or bully side, you know, that finally the reports are now coming out. In 2007 was the first kind of connection between suicide, teen suicide, and bullying. And if you look at the rise in bullying over the last, say, 15 years, has dramatically gone up. Then you look at teen suicide rate has dramatically gone up. you know, in the last 20 years. What's happening here? You know, we have this mean society. Mean is okay. And it's just being percolated. We see it in the political environment. We see it everywhere. To be mean to our fellow man is perfectly okay, and people get a pass on it. And some of us have to say, that's not right.
Well, and certainly you're saying that. So where has anybody in the state house here in Michigan reached out to you and said, Kevin, can you work with us once more? Can you help us put together a piece of legislation that'll make sense?
Actually, I went down and I did have a meeting with Speaker Chase Bolger the other day. I met with Democratic leaders, Senator Whitmer and Senator Anderson, you know, in the Senate again. So I've talked with people on both sides of the aisle. I'm just a parent. I'm just like anybody else who walks in there. I don't have a vote. I have a voice. You know, I'm going to use that voice for our kids as much as I can. It's up to them if they really want to decide if they're going to listen to what I say.
Well, Kevin Epling, I just want you to know that if there's something that this program can do for you, you really just need to reach out to us. My heart, again, breaks for you. I hope I did the reading of that poem a little bit of justice anyway. It's always difficult to read somebody else's work because they know what it means more than I do. Unfortunately, Matt's not here to read it for us, Kevin.
No, and I thank you for doing that, because that just kind of exposes, you know, Matt to, you know, a whole different audience. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, I do this. Matt's still with us every day, and I want to make sure that all those kids that we lose to tragedies across the state of Michigan, I'm there for those parents. My wife is there for those parents, and we won't forget them.
Absolutely. Kevin Epling, thank you so much. We're just out of time. My blessings to you. Just know we're here if you need us.
Thank you, sir.
My pleasure. Kevin Epling, coming up, Congress. Congressman Hanson Clark. Do we go from helping this young man to helping veterans? This is First Shift.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're still looking at that accident, 96 eastbound at Kensington Road, plus some delays on 696 westbound from around Cousins all the way through the I-75 interchange. 75 itself is slow between 12 mile down to 8 mile. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, rain and snow showers are likely. Yes, some snow in there, a high near 45, some breezy winds into the south as well. Tonight, chance of rain and snow showers before 1 a.m., cloudy, a low around the freezing mark, and then on Veterans Day, that's tomorrow, a slight chance of rain or snow, once again, partly cloudy, a high near 44. Right now, it's partly cloudy and 41 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
Those politicians of, by, and for the richest 1% should finally understand that working people will fight hard to ensure the survival of the middle class. And the AFL-CIO stand with them.
AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka on the huge victory working people achieved in repealing the loss of public worker collective bargaining rights in Ohio. AFL-CIO election night polling showed majority opposition to the gutting of collective bargaining across demographic groups. The polling shows Ohio voters turning sharply away from Republicans and a majority of the voters holding a negative view of the GOP. The polling showed that Republicans lost the center and lost big among independent voters by attacking collective bargaining rights. Cincinnati firefighter Doug Stern.
As an active duty firefighter in Cincinnati, I'm so grateful to the people of Ohio for standing with firefighters and the other public employees to help keep our community safe and strong. In the final weeks of the election, we asked the question, who do people trust? Firefighters like myself, police officers and other public employees, or politicians? Well, yesterday, Ohioans overwhelmingly answered that they trust their public employees and they want to let them have their voice.
Trumka says the working family WIN in Ohio carries a very strong message to politicians everywhere in America.
The people of Ohio, from auto workers to teachers and firefighters to the building trades and public sector workers to the jobless, sent a message that will reverberate across the country that politicians need to stop scapegoating workers and pushing an extreme partisan agenda. They need to instead work to create jobs for working people and to commit to restoring balance to our economy. America right now is having a conversation about collective bargaining and inequality that in many ways began in Madison, Wisconsin, and continued through Occupy Wall Street in New York and across the country.
In Michigan, working families, spearheaded by the Michigan Education Association, made history by recalling Republican State Representative Paul Scott. On the MEA website, they headlined the news by saying, "This is what democracy looks like." MEA President Steve Cook says Scott's recall proves that voters will hold lawmakers accountable for assaults on the middle class. It's the first time in Michigan history that a Republican state lawmaker has been recalled. Representative Scott was targeted for recall for deciding to support cutting school funding while at the same time taxing pensions and giving tax handouts to corporate special interests. This newscast was made possible in part through underwriting support from the hardworking men and women of the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Trupiano. And First Shift, First Shift, First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back 35 minutes after the hour. I once again want to thank Mr. Kevin Epling for sharing his story with us, his son Matt taking his life after being hazed. Matt Safe School Law deserves enumeration. It truly does. And I want to thank Kevin for having the strength. I don't know that I could do what he's doing. I honestly don't. Our hats are off to him. Anyway, as I was sharing with you earlier on in the show today, we've got Congressman Hanson Clark joining us. Now, a little later on this morning, he and Congressman John Conyers will be holding a press conference to place some needed attention on the plight of our veterans who are returning from war, some of them, of course, disabled, that don't have jobs. And this morning at the historic Fort Wayne, again, Congressman Hanson Clark and John Conyers will be there to talk about how we salute our veterans. And on the line with me now is Congressman Hanson Clark, my good friend. How are you this morning?
Tony, it's great being on your show. You're a real champion for our people here in Metro Detroit. And you're right. Today, 10 a.m., historic Fort Wayne, we're going to salute our veterans. And the best way to do that is to help them find a job, get them the health care that they need, the shelter that they deserve. The reason I say shelter, many of the men that I see downtown Detroit that are getting their food and their breakfasts out of garbage dumpsters are veterans, which is an outrage. So we wanted to bring the veterans, their families together to meet the providers that can help them with the services that our veterans need, but to meet with them face-to-face under one roof this morning. That's at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So we're urging all veterans in Metro Detroit that need help finding work, getting health care, finding shelter, staying in their home to avoid foreclosure, please come to historic Fort Wayne. I'll be there personally to be your advocate, Congressman Hanson Clark.
All right. Now, I got to tell you, this is, of course, a wonderful thing that you're doing. I know that President Obama has a special program out there. I can't think of a less partisan issue than helping our veterans. Why are the Republicans stalling on this? Do you have any idea, Congressman?
Well, you know, I'm just trying to focus on helping the veterans right now. And, you know, these cuts, though, that are being proposed, especially the Veterans Administration, that would just devastate any help that our veterans could get. These cases are backlogged right now as it is. Many of our veterans that call the VA, they can't get through because of all the calls. So we can't really cut resources from that are going to our veterans because our veterans desperately need it right now.
Yeah, you know, and let's be mindful. We're not just talking about recent veterans. We're talking about any veteran, right? It doesn't matter when you served your country. It just matters that you served your country.
That's exactly right. And the tragedy is that many of our veterans that need the help the most that are out on the streets served us in Vietnam. And that's outrageous for them not to have a home right now. So we wanted to make sure that the veterans and their families. Also, we're busing some of the veterans from the shelters right now so they can meet directly with the people that can help them get the health treatment that they need and the job training that's important.
All right, well, let me just share the veterans that are listening, or if you know a veteran, by the way, that would need this, folks, let me get you some information here. They're going to be connected with over 25 agencies that provide vital social and economic resources. These agencies focus on job training, higher education, entrepreneurship, and many other opportunities that are available to veterans that I'm going to guess veterans and families aren't even aware that this stuff exists.
That's probably true. And I'm glad you mentioned about entrepreneurship. You know, many of our veterans have the skills that they need to go in their own business. We want to provide them with that assistance because they can create jobs for many people in Metro Detroit.
No question. Well, again, let me remind everybody, the historic Fort Wayne, let me give you the address, folks, in case you need to MapQuest it or something. It's 6325 West Jefferson Avenue in Detroit. That's 6325 West Jefferson Avenue in Detroit. The zip is 48209, and it's real easy to find. Should be an amazing day. And again, Congressman John Conyers and my guest, Congressman Hanson Clark, will be out there today. Congressman, thanks so much for your time today. I'm sure you're going to have a big turnout.
You're very welcome. Our veterans deserve our support because they've sacrificed everything for us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Congressman.
You're welcome.
We'll talk soon. You bet. This is a big deal, folks. So if you know a veteran, if you are a veteran, this is an amazing opportunity for you. This is free, by the way. There's no cost involved. In fact, nothing could be further from the truth. It's a free event. Go and take advantage of this. I don't know why the Republicans just don't get on board with this new tax credit. It just makes, I don't know, to me it just makes so much sense. Whew. Jeff, you know, since we have time, I want to play that that ad for the DNC put together for veterans. Can we hit that real quick?
Finding jobs has been very hard.
I know you're going to do great.
Yeah, I think I will. I think this one's a good one.
I serve my country and can't find a job.
The president's jobs plan gives tax credits for hiring veterans, and it's paid for by asking millionaires and corporations to pay their fair share. But Republicans have said no.
I just got married. I just want to earn a living, start my family, get the white picket fence. This jobs plan definitely is going to do that.
The Democratic National Committee is responsible for the content.
Damn, that's simple, folks. It's that simple. I can't imagine. We ask, you know, and so much of this generation, the younger generation, the one that's right after me, we've really asked an extraordinary amount from them. We asked them to serve in both Iraq and Afghanistan. Many of them have served multiple tours. Giving up a life, giving up of their families. Many of them end up in divorce. Many of them end up with post-traumatic stress disorder. They come home after valiantly serving their country and doing it with pride and with honor and dignity to no job because that the job that they come back to, the company no longer exists. Or they have laid off a certain amount of people and they won't be hiring. The president says, hey, let's give an extraordinary tax incentive to companies to hire these young men and women that admirably served their country. What? And yes, there's a cost to it. So the president says, let's take the wealthiest Americans and ask them to just give a little bit more. Now, this, of course, all goes back to the American Jobs Act, which Congress would not even consider. And so the president, as he promised he would do, broke it down into, I don't know, bite sizes, okay? You know, something you could really sink your teeth in. This is one of those. So we offer up a tax incentive for employers to hire our veterans. And where are the Republicans on this? How can they keep saying no to everything? Everything. Now, watch the debate last night. At least some of it. I didn't watch it all, but, you know, the audience definitely, they talk about the left being Kool-Aid drinkers. Sweet God. Anytime a conservative says anything conservative, that audience went wacko. Less of this, less of this, less of that, less of this. Applause, applause, applause. the Republican candidates were basically saying, if we need to suffer through 3 to 5 more years of quote-unquote market corrections, that's what we need to do. Let's just do it. Let's do it and get it over with. Okay. How do you tell your children there will be no Christmas? How do you tell your wife there will be no money for food? How do you tell your body that you cannot afford the medications it needs to survive? I guess it'll find out on its own pretty quickly, won't it? You stop and you think about, and I'm going to make this, I mean, real specific to veterans. You stop and you think about everything they are asked to do. They don't get the option to say no. You see, they take an oath. And when they are given an order, they follow that order. It's not about ethics and morals. It's not about right and wrong. They do what they're told to do because they are good United States soldiers. And how do we reward them? We don't pay them very much. When they're done with their service, we don't have a job for them. We don't provide them with access to health care. And if we do, it's almost impossible to get. As Congressman Hanson Clark just said, they can call the VA, but, you know, more times than not, they're not going to get an answer. They're going to have to leave a message. Good luck getting somebody to call you back. You think the VA is stressed now? Wait till every one of our men and women serving in uniform come back from overseas and need their country to support them. How will we do that? And you have to think about this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. You have to. Generations of men and women fought for freedom. And we do not honor them in the way that is honorable. In fact, I would suggest that the way we've treated veterans in this country over the last 20 years is embarrassing and should be illegal. If I were a vet, I'd want to file a class action lawsuit against the same government that I fought to protect. Because sadly, the same government has not protected me as a veteran. All right, we'll take a break. Occupy Detroit when we continue, so you're going to want to stay where you're at. I'm Tony Trupiano. We need to do something to help our veterans. Again, if you know a veteran that needs some help, the historic Fort Wayne today, 10 to 2, 6325 West Jefferson in Detroit. We'll be back.
With Tony Triano.
Well, welcome Theo in Detroit.
Well, thank you, Tony. I want to tell you I appreciate the fact that you bring information that we might not otherwise hear anyplace else.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me is therapist Leo Battenhausen, author of the brand new book, Defeating Depression, The Calm and Sense Way.
Well, first we have to realize a big part of our personality and our very being can be taken right from us at any given time, especially with a long-term career we've been in, or even a short-term career where we're providing food and housing for ourselves or our family. So a big piece of us goes into a shock phase when we are either laid off or become unemployed. But we have to remember that true happiness is not something that can ever be taken away from us if we have it within. So, you know, we have to be careful with putting our happiness into our jobs or into our things, because anything can be taken away from us. But we have to understand, too, that it's an opportunity to rebuild ourselves. And most studies show that happiness can come from people who reinvent themselves and find themselves in a different career if their ability to stay in their long-term career is taken from them.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for great?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
Welcome, excuse me, welcome back. It is Thursday morning. Man, we're almost two-thirds of the way through the show already. Don't forget, David Hecker going to be with us in the next hour. Very much looking forward to having him on. We're also going to have some time for open lines in the next hour. We haven't had much time today. We've just been busy, which is a good thing. I'm very pleased with the way things are going these days. Shows really, maybe it's my ego talking, but I think that we've really kind of hit our stride right now. We've had some amazing guests. Just this week alone, it's been pretty cool. All right, as we do, it's 7:50. You folks all know what that means, right? It means it's time to occupy the first shift is what we're going to do. And every single day we visit with Occupy Detroit, today being no different. So let me go to my guest, and I will welcome Sarah Coffey to First Shift. She is one of the occupiers and joins us today to share her story. Sarah, welcome to First Shift.
Hi, thank you.
A pleasure to have you with us this morning. Hope you survived the windstorm last night.
Yeah, we battened down the hatches. Everybody's fine.
Yeah, you know, I kind of was thinking of that scene in The Wizard of Oz, you know, where, you know, I was out occupying the debate at Oakland University last night, and, you know, they had that old fencing up, and I was waiting for it to, you know, come loose, and everybody was going to grab onto it and fly through the air. It was pretty intense out there last night.
Yeah, it was definitely windy.
And no question about it. Hey, Sarah, tell us a little bit about your story. Why are you involved in the Occupy Detroit movement, Sarah?
Briefly, I was politicized living in Seattle in 2000 when the World Trade Organization ministerials happened there. And I've been doing political organizing and community organizing ever since then. And I just happened to be in New York when Occupy Wall Street happened. And seeing that, that's a very familiar manifestation. It's very similar to the ultra-globalization movement, the kind of shared power model. The General Assemblies, the Spokes Councils, that's all very much from the ultra-globalization playbook.
Mm-hmm.
And, in Detroit, you know, Detroit has so much to teach the Occupy movement. There's just such a deep movement history here in the city. And I just see that there is the opportunity to evolve this to the next level here in the city, like nowhere else, nowhere else in the country. So.
Okay, well, I've had a lot of people on the show from the Occupy movement. Everybody seems to have their, and everybody does have their own reasons for wanting to do this. And I think, Sarah, at some level, it's just such a healthy way for us to kind of, in some ways, I know for me, I've grown a lot during the Occupy movement. I don't know if you've had that same experience.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, I think, you know, part of it for me has just been the community that we've been building. You know, I feel like that a community is so powerful, and coming together down at Grand Circus kind of under adverse conditions and, you know, with no plan, really spontaneously, just, you know, people who care and want to do something and aren't waiting for somebody else to do something, for me, has just been a really transformative experience.
Yeah, sure. I would agree with that. Hey, listen, before we go any further, yesterday we had Destiny Turnbow on, and she's calling in, so let's find out what Destiny wants, if you don't mind. Sarah, Destiny, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me. Hi, Sarah.
Sarah, Destiny said hello.
Oh, hi, Destiny. I'm sorry, I couldn't answer you.
Yeah, it's good to be back on the show. I called back in because due to the calling in yesterday, some people informed me that it would be really great if we were able to have some professional caterers to donate to the Occupy Thanksgiving event. And now with the threat of us being shut out of the park on the 15th due to the permit being over, I think Occupy Thanksgiving, the event being on November 20th, it's very important that it's a professional first-class event that we put on. So I would just call it to put out the word that if there's anybody out there that has a local catering business or something like that that would like to donate their time and food to the Occupy Thanksgiving event on November 20th, they should definitely call in. And also thanks to, I think his name is Keith.
Yes, Keith.
He found it yesterday. Yeah, to the call for us to get a karaoke person. So thank you so much for that.
So we're going to see if lightning will strike twice, Destiny. We found the karaoke guy yesterday. Let's see if we can find the caterer today. Well, it's out there. Now it's out in the universe. We'll see if we can find a caterer. I will say this. I am willing to donate some money toward a caterer, and I'm sure that there are others in the audience that would be willing to do that as well. If there's a caterer that's interested in helping out Occupy Detroit, it's going to be on November 20th, I believe at 4 o'clock. I think that's right. But if you're interested in helping cater that event, give me a call or send me an email, and let's work out some details, see if we can't do some in-kind stuff and maybe get some donations as well. Tony@thetonyshow.org. is the email address. Again, tony@thetonyshow.org. So if you do some catering or know somebody that does some catering, it's an awesome opportunity to step up and help out Occupy Detroit. Destiny, you know, it's one of the things that's been absolutely amazing about this is, as Destiny just shared, I'm sorry, Sarah, as Destiny just shared, you know, yesterday we talked about needing somebody to do karaoke. Sure enough, an hour later, we had somebody to do karaoke.
That's awesome. And, you know, that reminds me, we had a discussion at the General Assembly about wanting to be in the Thanksgiving Day parade. And it's a little late to get in the parade, but I'm trying to find a group. I heard the Pipe Fitters were marching in the parade. So if there's anybody out there who has an organization that's marching in the Thanksgiving Day parade and wouldn't mind a contingent from Occupy Detroit marching with them, we would really like to join the Thanksgiving Day parade. We have some fun ideas of things that we could do.
All right. Well, so let's throw that out there as well. If there is somebody that is marching in the parade that would love to be accompanied by some of the wonderful people from Occupy Detroit, let me know and I'll connect you to the right people at Occupy Detroit. Again, tony@thetonyshow.org. I was given a note that you had a couple announcements that you wanted to make about some upcoming events. I would imagine the parade was one of them.
Yeah, and also this Friday, we're going to be having a prayer vigil at Occupy Detroit at 6 p.m. It's an interfaith prayer vigil in response to an event that's happening at Ford Field.
Mm-hmm.
This group called The Call is having an event there. And according to Reverend Charles Williams, Bill Wiley Kellerman from St. Peter's, Reverend Rowe from Central United Methodist Church, there was an imam at Occupy Detroit yesterday, as well as another Baptist minister. They were kind of critiquing The Call as being anti-Islamic, anti-gay, anti-abortion, and saying that, you know, what we need is to be working towards what we want, not what we don't want. And so they're going to be hosting a prayer vigil in support of loving our fellow man and woman. And
where's that at? Sarah, we just got to get to the top of the hour break. Where's that prayer vigil going to be at?
So that's it's going to be at Occupy Detroit, which is at the corner of Woodward and Adams.
So right at Grand Circus Park, 6 p.m. Sarah Coffey, thank you so much. We got to take a break for the top of the hour. We'll be back. David Hecker on the other side.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some stop-and-go traffic on 75 southbound between 12 Mile and 8 Mile. Right before that, we have an accident on the shoulder at 14 Mile, and that's causing some delays back to Rochester Road. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast on the National Weather Service today, rain and snow showers are likely after 10 a.m., increasing clouds, a high near 45. Same goes tonight. Rain and snow continue before 1 a.m. And then tomorrow, same deal, partly sunny. Slight chance for a rain and snow shower in there, too. High near 44. Right now, it's partly cloudy and 41 at Detroit City Airport.